back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienema. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
We have used a lot of Febreze. We've lit candles on the stench of the Thursday night football loss that the Houston Texans suffered at the hands of the New York Jets, 21-13. Oh, it's still in the room, and with us to talk about that, the NFL trade deadline, and a lot more is DJ Bienema. DJ, first off, let's just talk about that game on Thursday. We're turning the page after this show is done, but did you see it going that badly?
That badly? I mean, you know, they lost by like 8.
This guy fumbled on the way into the end zone. I refuse to acknowledge that that was really a 21-13 loss. They lost 28-13.
Nah, I mean, because
you fumble going into the end zone. That guy should be sent to jail for that.
Yes, he should have been sent to jail. Absolutely. But, I mean, like, you know, the Texans had some bad breaks, too. Like, you know, CJ basically dropping the ball inside of the 8. You had another thing with Tommy missed the field goal, a 50-yard field goal, and then he made one, flag, draw, you know, get more plays.
This is 27-yard.
It was two bad teams. Like, two teams playing, like, bad football. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. Texans have kind of shown when there's like some level of adversity where things aren't ideal, they can tend to like fold like a cheap tent sometimes, which is kind of odd. But I mean, again, they're a dome team. So like a lot of dome teams struggle once they get into like the elements and things of that nature. So I wasn't surprised that they lost. I wasn't surprised it went the way it went. You know, no Nico, no Steph. Like, I didn't know how they were going to be able to manufacture points outside of give the ball to Joe Mixon 40 times. So, I'm not surprised that, you know, they didn't score that much. I am a little surprised that they gave 21 in the second half to the Jets. And they let the Jets have some explosive plays, which they don't usually have. But, you know, one of the explosive plays shouldn't have even happened because Derrick Stingley should have been called for that illegal contact.
Yeah, that was bogus.
And then obviously Garrett Wilson makes a crazy play, right? Like he won it. He makes this catch of the year. So like, yeah, it was back and forth. You know, if a few plays go the opposite way, they might have won that game. But I think that game just kind of exposed a lot of their issues that they still have to fix.
Are you surprised that they have not done anything or probably won't do anything in the next hour to fix some of those issues?
Who are they going to get, though? Like, everybody's saying go get a left guard. All right. If there's a left guard that moves the needle, why is he available?
Does it need to move the needle, though? Does it
anybody? Yes. Because then Kendrick Green is anybody.
Jarrett Patterson is anybody. Kendrick Green is not good.
No, but I'm saying, no. Like, that Jag. Kendrick Green's a Jag. Mm-hmm. You know, there's degrees of, like, Jags, but they're all Jags.
Talked about this earlier on the show. The lack of depth that they have on the interior offensive line, is that an offseason failure of Nick Caserio thinking that this was going to work with Kenyon Green? Because before Green got hurt, I mean, he was struggling.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say, you know, when you invest that much in the interior, you have to kind of like ride it out, you know.
First round pick, second round
pick. Like, you know, So, you know, you just kind of got to ride it out at that point. But, it hasn't worked at all. Juice is fine. Shaq's kind of regressed a little bit, but I wonder how much of the regression is due to, like, you know, some of just Juice's youth playing next to him. Obviously, you have Titus to the right. But, again, like, I mean, there's some plays where he's just getting whooped without – ain't got nothing to do with Juice at all. So, I always have my concerns about this team because I was always worried about the spine of the team, like the D-tackle room, the linebacker room, the interior offensive line room. I always feel like that the safety room, that was going to be the thing that could derail the team from getting to where they wanted to get to. It was kind of interesting because the Texans invested everything into, you know, the premium positions, tackles, quarterback, receivers, cornerbacks. But, like, in the interior, which a lot of teams have tried to do, they didn't invest premium assets into that. And, you know, you're kind of seeing the – well, I mean, I guess – Kenyon Green, technically, that is a premium asset put into the interior
just
same
3 years
way.
Ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Scruggs
and
too.
Juice, yeah, too. But again, like, I wasn't high on, you know, that position group, and it's come to showing itself. And until they fix it, it's going to be a problem the entire year.
Is there anything they can do now, though, if they're not going to do it? Is it coaching? Like, something philosophically they can do different? Are we talking about the Tytus Howard to left guard with Blake Griffin
at
right tackle?
He's not good. He's not good in the run game at left guard. He's fine in pass blocking, but he's not good in the run game. So you'll what you'll be doing, because Blake isn't ready to play either. What you'll be doing is hurting the run game while marginally making the pass blocking better. So, I don't think that fixes it. They're in a bad spot.
DJ Bieniemy with us from ESPN.com. The Texans 6-3. They played the Lions on Sunday. The offensive line has been the issue, and I've been struck, DJ, by how defensive it seems D'Amico has been when it comes to that offensive line. He has been saying, hey, on Monday, he was talking about how it's everybody.
It is, though.
And he's on the Monday before, he was talking about how they're doing positive things as well.
Right.
I'm with you in that it's more than just the offensive line as far as the totality of what happened on Thursday. But 8 sacks. Okay, say they can't do anything to upgrade the actual roster, to upgrade the actual talent.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do to just make the offense play to its strengths when throwing it 20 to 30 times a game with C.J. Stroud seems out of the question, just given the protection issues?
I would say, it's a combination of everything. Like, not all the sacks are on the O-line. Sometimes C.J. has to get rid of it or find his check down. Sometimes guys have to get open faster. Because his time to throw was 3.63. A lot of that's a combination of him just creating and running around and things of that nature. He did have some scrambles. I would say that this past week felt more like all 11 plus 12. Whereas some weeks where it felt like it was just the O-line. Like the Bears game, the second Colts, the first Colts game, the Vikings game, it felt more like O-line / Bobby. But I would say, last day was a combination of everybody. I think guys got to get open faster. CJ has to find his checkdowns quicker. Obviously, O-line has to block a little bit better. There needs to be better plans. There's no reason why Kenyon Green should ever be blocking, Quinnen Williams one-on-one. Quinnen Williams is the all-pro defensive tackle. Like, Kenyon Green can't block a guy like that one-on-one. But, it starts from the top down where whatever their plan is to handle X, Y, and Z, it just isn't good enough. And it starts with the coaching staff. I'm a big proponent, a big believer. Comes to O-line play, comes down to coaching. Now, personnel, because you can make a 5th, 6th, 7th rounder into a good player if with the right coaching, especially on the interior offensive line spot. Obviously, tackles, you kind of need a dude, right? It is what it is. There, you got to drop guys high. But for the most part, though, on the interior, that's more about coaching, and that's where they've been beating a lot.
I mean, we saw last year it starts slow, right? Like, they get up 11 sacks in the first two games. It picked back up in the season. And they had a bunch of moving parts. Is there something that's, that fundamentally different with the coaching this year? Why it just seems like this is the one group specifically that took the biggest step back as they got healthier?
Yeah, I would say maybe teams just have – it's funny because they got better in the run blocking, but they got worse pass blocking. I would say teams have an idea of what their pass protection is going to look like and they're being able to exploit it. Because, most of the sacks, outside of, a few where, again, why you got Kenyon Green blocking Quinnen Williams one-on-one? God bless him. I would say, a lot of it is, stunts and twists and games and things of that nature where guys, it's just miscommunication and guys aren't picking it up correctly. And teams have realized that's a hole in their offense, and they're going to continue to attack it. Another thing too is Bobby for whatever reason on early downs doesn't go to quick game. I would say because quick game could be an extension of your running attack.
You're talking screen slants.
Yeah, screen slants, stick concepts where you kind of got a slant backside. You got a tight end run, an option route, you got an out route, you got a go route on outside, things of that nature, or, whatever that is, or stick nods, whatever that, anything where CJ takes one step and he gets the ball out, it feels like a lot of times, and he did call that, I know he did call one of those, try to get to Robert, and CJ double clutched for whatever reason, and then, it went out of bounds to start the game. Bobby has to do a better job play calling and get them out of third and obvious situations, third and longs, clear passing situations where they have to throw the ball, get them more third and five and manageable. But, they're going to get it together because, you know, this week they're facing a wagon. Like, the Lions are, to me, the best team in the league. They have the least amount of flaws, playing the best football. And it's funny, what they do really, really well, the Texans do well at stopping, but if they can't stop the run, Lions will probably put up over 30.
The Lions do run the football well. They've got Jahmyr Gibbs. They've got David Montgomery. They've got Jared Goff, who's got, I think, more touchdowns and incompletions over the last couple of games. You've got a team that's got a lot going for it. Wide receivers who are very cocky, feeling that they can wear a bleep Green Bay shirt and all that.
Yeah.
They're feeling themselves, these Lions. And I imagine the Texans are still licking their wounds to an extent. I do think it's interesting. You know, they have talked very often, DJ, about how they don't overlook any opponent. And I want to believe that. So I would think that a game like this on Sunday could theoretically bring the best out of them. The problem is that, you know, the part about not looking over people, where you hear D'Amico Ryans preaching it, you hear C.J. Stroud preaching it, hey, every single team's the same. And yet, the track record is to 2 years is losses against the Panthers, the Falcons, the Jets twice. And it's one of those things where it doesn't really feel like it adds up, but maybe it does add up on Sunday, because this is, of all the games they've played in the D'Amico Ryans era that's not a playoff game, what game's going to have more hype going into it than this one?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think they do. You know, each loss, like, there's credible reasons that go beyond, like, the cliche of they overlooked the opponent. And I would say, you know, especially in this game, you know, matchups, the Jets match up really well with the Texans. They just do. And I think the Lions, I think the Texans match up decently against the Detroit, because they can stop the run. Now you can kind of get them to play on your terms. But if you can't stop the run, then it's going to be lights out. You know, a lot of it's going to come down to, can Nico play this week? Obviously, you know, D'Amico didn't really say much on Monday. I mean, Nico says he's fine. Like, anytime anybody talks to Nico, he says he's good. But at the end of the day, it's not his call. So we just kind of wait. We're in wait and see mode. Hopefully he practices tomorrow. If he doesn't, well, then that's a clear sign he's probably not going to play on Sunday. I would say that they don't – yes, they're going to get up for this game because it's on Sunday night. But they got – the reason why they lose games is not because they're overlooking people. I'll say that much. Yeah, they're not overlooking people. It's because these people. Thing is, what's scary about this game is all the games they lost this year. Right, they've lost to the Vikings, the Packers, Jets. They've all punched them in the mouth, and the Lions can punch you in the mouth. And I think that the only game where I felt like they kind of punched back when they got punched in the mouth,
Cincinnati.
No, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, this year.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't throw a rock into the ocean, stand on the sand. So,
but Mixon was running well at least.
Yeah. So okay, yeah, they kind of punched back there. I would say, you know, even the Bears, they kind of punched back a little bit. I can't even say offense. Though the Jags game, they punched back offensively. They did, because they got punched in the mouth for a while because they couldn't move the ball, they couldn't score, and then they eventually figured it out. But yeah, I mean. It's going to be a tough week, man. It's going
to
be a tough week.
Give the ball to Mixon 50 times. I think that's the play, but the problem is I saw this, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, about the actual Lions as we turn the page. The Lions haven't allowed an 100-yard rusher in 2 years.
2 years?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I saw
Aaron Glenn is big about that.
The Lions Reddit, two people posted, and there's two different numbers, but one is like they haven't allowed an 100-yard rusher in 685 days. The other one said 670 days. So, I mean, we're basically talking 2 years that they have not allowed an 100-yard rusher.
Joe's looking it up right now.
It's a very
random. He doesn't trust your numbers.
No, I'm like fascinated by his numbers. That's a Lions fan said.
I was stunned when I saw that because, you know, I don't think about the Lions having the best defense. I think about their offense being super efficient. I think their defense does what it needs to.
Where are we at on Sunday for, you mentioned Nico. Any idea about Will Anderson, Jared Patterson, Damian Pierce?
I don't think Will play.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think Will play. If I had to guess, I don't think he's going to play.
How long do you think he'll be out? Because this is the second ankle injury, right, in 2 years?
Yeah, I'll probably say maybe like, it wasn't that bad. Maybe like one week.
He was on the sideline. That did make me feel better. But
I mean, shoot, Joe Mixon hurt his hamstring. I mean, hurt his ankle.
Came
back in the game and left. I think for me, if you go back in the game and you leave, That's when I'm like, yeah, you probably gonna miss next week. But I don't think it's good anything like long term.
What about Patterson? Think he'll be okay?
Yeah, I think yeah. Like, he'll be fine.
We'll find out basically.
But I don't think like you plug him at left guard, it changes anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think there's gonna be issues there.
What about
yeah.
the other way? With Patterson at center, because that's where it started last year, right? Where he was at center and Scruggs started at left guard last year for a couple games, didn't he as well?
I don't think so.
Or just it was Patterson was at center, and then they had someone else.
Because it was Michael Dieter that was at guard.
That's right.
Yeah, Dieter was at guard. Forgot. Because I remember Juice came back right after Patterson broke his leg.
Where's Dieter?
He's probably on some farm.
I mean, that's the guy to call, right?
Yeah. I mean,
where is Michael Dieter?
You know, guys. I mean,
this is how bad it's gotten. We're just throwing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I mean. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not an ideal situation. I think that, you know, it feels like I'll say with the moves that they made in the offseason, I think it's fair to say through, 9 games, they probably should have prioritized a little bit differently.
Okay.
They probably shouldn't have went after Daniil. They probably should have just resigned JG. Cheaper, you have more money.
Grenard, yeah.
And then maybe you could have added a veteran. You know, someone to compete with the two interior guys, especially since like Kane missed so much of last year, right? And he wasn't good as a rookie. Like it just made sense to like have somebody just in case.
Yeah, that's what bothers me about it. It feels like they were really banking on it, and to this point, there really just wasn't much to go off.
Right,
of.
Right, yeah, exactly. And like you know, again, like Juice didn't play great last year, so maybe have somebody you know like a legitimate veteran there. Or guys that can compete with those guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and then I would say, you know, for this matchup, you know, maybe having a little bit more to get Sheldon Rankins back, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Sheldon or Malik, I mean, because, you know, them not having Sheldon or Malik, not saying like, Tim Sola's been good, you know, Mario was playing well, Danico's been, you know, played well, especially, you know, but having like one of those, if you replace, not Danico, let's say you replace Mario or Tim with Sheldon, now you're talking about completely different defensive line. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they could have used their, you know, assets the way they thought about upgrading the team. They probably could have used it differently because right now, like, the team is not better than it was last year. Like, it's roughly the same.
Even though they added a lot of big
names. Even they made a lot of changes. They're basically the same team.
That's frustrating when you just take a look at all the other teams.
They might be worse. Last year, they were blowing teams out. This year, they're not even blowing teams out.
They are competing with teams like the Chiefs, who just traded for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Two touchdown catches last night.
Right.
The Steelers have added a lot. They have a 6-2 record.
Yeah.
If you don't take them 100% seriously, the Ravens made a move. I don't really know how much stock to put into them bringing in Deontay Johnson.
Oh, the Ravens are a wagon.
Yeah, they don't need him because they're so good.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and we'll see how it works out, but they also just traded for Tre'Davious White. The Ravens did.
They just did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but Tre'Davious is washed.
But he's not. But he's Achilles
washed.
Yeah.
He's washed.
I don't know, but it's
he couldn't. He couldn't
it's
play.
The Ravens.
He couldn't play for the Rams. It's over. It's over.
You go to the
it's
Ravens, over. You're good at football.
It's over.
I mean, Marlon Humphrey seemed banged up.
He's good, I mean, but like, what'd he go for?
7th rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Be for real. What for a 7th rounder? The man has torn his ACL, his Achilles, like, his body's just broke down. You know what I'm saying? The Rams got guys that you could have named starting that corner.
Whatever the case, they're adding, and that is name brand, and we would like to see the Texans do that. I think that would make some people, for now, feel
no,
better.
Because when you, again, like the names that you're at, like if it's not interior offensive line help, if it's not
TJ, they could safety trade for help. You. They could trade for you, and I'd be like, okay, cool, let's do it.
Yeah, and then I get out there, and I try to tackle somebody, and then I get carried off on a stretcher.
You just gotta kick him right in the nads. No one wears cups. Just kick him, and that'll be more effective protection than what the Texans are giving. DeMeco Ryan's protecting the offensive line in the press conferences better than the pass protection that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, he's not a guy's gonna criticize guys at the podium. So
it's more
he's very consistent.
It's driving me crazy because I know what he's doing. I understand why he's doing it.
Yeah.
But I am the one that has to watch the press conferences for work.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair.
It has nothing to do with what he's saying as much as like, damn it, I can't keep seeing this over and over.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, he just can't. His guy, you know, the guys watch press conferences. They just pay attention to press conferences. So, if you're ripping guys.
Yeah, especially the tackles.
They're going to, I'm not saying you'll lose them, but You might have to deal with something later on in the day.
Do you think the offensive line's allowed in the group chat? And by the way, DJ wrote a great piece about the Texans wide receiver group and CJ Stroud having a group chat that was released before the Thursday night game. The Thursday night game happens, and now, I mean, all you can do is make fun of the group chat, even though that's just how it works.
Yeah.
So who is all in the group chat? Is it the receivers?
Is it receivers and tight ends? Receivers and tight ends.
No offensive linemen allowed?
No offensive.
That's good, because they're getting probably destroyed on that group chat right now.
Is everyone in?
Like Kendrick Green,
he probably just has like other guys like because he has group chats with the O line.
What is he sending that one? This is where you're bad.
Don't do this, please stop.
This is where I got killed, Kenyon.
I don't think he's doing that.
You can see the blood right there.
Like CJ Stroud left the group chat.
But I will say this: they do have to get it fixed, because like, it's only a matter of time until he gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, shoot. He
got dinged up twice.
Game. Yeah.
Like, man, like, yeah, man, you know. This would give me obviously, like, I don't want CJ to get hurt at all. Like, nobody wants that. Because business goes down the toilet if CJ gets hurt.
Oh, for sure.
I would say that, you know, if this continues,
it's Astros
all the fingers you got to point at Nick, because this is the roster that he gave him. Didn't upgrade interior. Like spent the money at the wrong spots. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the only real move is probably Aziz. No, free agency. I ain't talking about the draft. Aziz.
He's been good, but he's hurt now too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Aziz, I guess, Aziz,
Hunter's
Joe.
Been good.
Hunter's been good, but JG's been just as good, if not better. You know what I'm saying? Like, JG actually gets the quarterback on the ground. Like, and JG's going to get pressures too, you know?
Yeah, but Danielle Hunter's biceps, dude.
Yeah. But JG costed like $10 million less on a per year annual basis.
You got quarterbacks and offensive linemen pooping their britches when they see those veiny biceps, dude. They're huge biceps.
They are.
Why are you
so
uncomfortable talking about them? They're massive. They are
massive biceps. No, you're right. He does look like a DN. I will say that. But, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's just moves that could have been made to improve the spine of the roster instead of all. Cause right now, to me, they're just like a really good Madden team. You know, like on Madden, like they'd be great to fun, a lot of fun to play with. But they have some issues in the trenches that, you know, it's going to cost them. But I think that right now, with the way their defense is, the defense is good enough to like mask it. But eventually, like I saw someone on the phone about this, like, you know, they won the division, obviously. I think it's like the 3 or 4 seed, like maybe the 2 seed. Like, the issue is, what if a team sneaks in? Like, let's say they got to play the Steelers, right? Or they got to play the Jets again. Or the, I almost said the Bills. They won't be playing the Bills.
The Bengals.
The Bengals, I think, is a great matchup for them, because Bengals is going to be a shootout. Like, one of those teams that, like, the way they have to win is basically a fist fight. And the Texans offense right now isn't equipped to handle a fist fight for 4 quarters. And in the playoffs, that can always cost you, right? Like, the Steelers would be, like, the worst matchup for them possible. Because all the Steelers got to do is hit on a couple deep shots, which, with Russ, they'll be able to hit. And T.J. Watt and Highsmith and Cameron Hayward, they would really, like, obliterate this offensive line. You know what I'm saying?
I've never been more happy about an injured player than Aiden Hutchinson being out on Sunday, but they just traded for Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah,
the pass rushers are going to get them.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, like, it's not even, like, the ends. It's interior guys. You know what I'm saying? So,
but move those defensive ends down the interior on a stunt play.
Yeah. That's why I think the two Titan games are going to be really interesting, because they got Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah, Simmons was creating problems.
Yeah, so, you know, it's because, you know, they're not going to sweep the division, so they're going to lose to somebody in the division, you know. I mean, like, who? It's rare where teams go 6-0 in the
division.
That's
true, but they did beat the one tough team twice. Jaguars look like that. I mean, Peterson's got to be on
the Jaguars game is going to be tough. Jaguars game is going to be tough.
Everything's tough now.
But it's what I'm saying, like, who have they blown out? Besides the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots aren't even a real football team anymore, but I do like Drake May.
Drake May's, that's all we got.
That's all you got. That's all you got. You guys are going to ruin him, though.
So the vibes have been ruined. Thanks, DJ. Thank you. Thanks for coming in here.
You're welcome.
I'm going to jump out the window now.
You're welcome.
Texas season's over. It's 6-3.
It's not over. It's just, like, the team that we thought they should be it ain't looking like that right now. And I respect CJ for finally, for someone saying the quiet part out loud. Because D'Amico always like, I hate when coaches say like, ugly wins a win, blah, 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 blah. Like, yes, it is. But like, you know, you got to be playing, like every win can't be ugly. That's how you get bounced in round one, right? Like the Vikings, all the wins were ugly in 2022 and they got bounced in round one.
It's more about being reflective of the idea that you could have done better. And
yeah, funny, yeah.
You know, Joe Burrow did it after the game. Yeah, and Stroud's doing it too, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Stroud, he was like, what's there to be happy about? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we still got a lot to do, right? D'Amico, when they win ugly, they barely win by the skin of their teeth. And like, because the other team lost the game sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like the Buffalo Bills game, like they lost that game, right? Like the Bills lost it. Like the Texans tried to give it away. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll say stuff like, you know, a win's a win. I'm glad CJ said the quiet part out loud. Like, nah, we got to start dominating people. Like, we can't keep squeaking by. Yes, this is the NFL. Like, squeaking by is a clear indication that you're an average football team. And you're just getting, like, the lucky bounces. Because, again, right, if Trevor gets into the end zone, they lose that game, right? Yes. If Caleb's able to drive the football field, they lose that game. If, you know.
If Richardson can complete 60%.
Literally. If Richardson doesn't have active CTE,
40%?
they might lose that game. Or if, like. What happened? What did I say?
Nothing. I mean, listen. Has this not been wrong that much?
I mean,
no, he's just checking out.
I mean, that's active CTE to me. But yeah, like, you know, but like, again, like, you know, like, you guys threw me off. But again,
you threw us off.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he does have active CTE. But again, like, you know, obviously, like, when it comes to like the one score games, like, it's always the coin flip, right? Like,
right, yeah.
You know, unless you're the Chiefs, they always win those one score games.
That's true.
But it's usually a coin flip for most teams. And you don't want to live in that world where, like, a lot of it is out of your hands and the other team has. Because, again, like the Miami Buffalo game that just passed, right? You know, Josh scores, Tua scores. It's like third and like nine. Josh throws up a Hail Mary. Jordan Porter, you know, Pete, you know, helmet to helmet. Now they got the ball, you know, now they're in field goal range. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of stuff sometimes you put in the ref's hands. It's out of your, because, like, again, like, if you took care of your business, right, that illegal contact on Stingley doesn't even penalize you. You know what I'm saying? Because you jumped out and you handled your business throughout the entire game. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I've had players tell me in the locker room, like, we got to start jumping out on teams because we know if you jump out on teams, though, some teams will just fold. We're going to hang around now. It's a game. And they let – if players are feeling like they got to stop letting teams hang around – I don't want to hear this, the NFL bull crap. Like, duh, yeah, it's the NFL, but like, let's be for real. Like,
thank you.
The Browns, you know, they're a bad football team. I know the record is, you know, any given Sunday, but why let that Sunday be you? Mic drop.
He's DJ Bieniemy of ESPN, Houston, Texas beat reporter. Stick around. It's Scalon and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.